it's time once again to open up our study and contrast in the Word of God, and we're in lesson 12, believe it or not. And today we were going to be looking at some things, what God would want you to know in the atonement yet future for the nation Israel in the prophetic program, and what God wants you to know now about the atonement in the body of Christ. So as we open up the Word of God, if you will, go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and once again, it's Rightly Dividing Word of Truth, the program that we're at, and we're in lesson 12. And over the period of times, we have been teaching and learning a lot about the Word of God, amen? And I hope by now you can start to believe that you do have the Word, and that you can put your faith in the Word of God. And God gives us His Word today. He don't work through circumstances and all. So today, when we look at the atonement yet future in a prophecy program, look at Acts chapter 3. Many people are familiar with the book of Acts, the first part of the book of Acts, and many people are familiar with the book of Acts chapter 2, where Peter stood up with the 11, that makes 12, and he talks to the nation Israel, "Ye men of Israel, ye men of Judea," these words, and he talks to them in Acts chapter 12, excuse me, 2, and he pricks their heart with a message, doesn't he? That you with wicked hands is crucified. So, and by the time you get to Acts chapter 3, Peter once again is talking to the nation Israel. Look at verse 12. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of who? Israel." Okay? The message is still going to Israel even after the Lord Jesus Christ died. Okay? If you know anything about your Bible, there's 1 year from the time Christ died at the cross in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 all the way to Acts chapter 8. There's 1 year in your Bible. Okay, God is still dealing with the nation Israel because the kingdom of heaven is being offered. Kingdom of heaven is being offered to them. It was never offered to the nation Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was at hand. Now it's being offered to them. In Acts chapter 3, he's talking to the nation Israel. And he says in verse 17, "And now, brethren, a wolf that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled." Verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached to you." This atonement, right there, where does it tell you when their sins are going to be remitted, or blotted out? When the times of refreshing. When is that? Is it? When Jesus comes back over in ages to come in the books of Hebrews through Revelation, when He comes back, when God sends His Son back, that's when their sins are going to be blotted out. Now you may be thinking, whoa, I've never seen that before. Well, you better open up your eyes, because that's exactly what that says. Because they did not have the full understanding of what Paul was talking in the dispensation of grace, which you're going to see when your atonement is now. I shared this with a couple from another country one time. Set them down, talking with some things. They believe in Acts 2:38 you had to do to be saved. I said, okay, if you believe that to be your salvation today, have you ever looked at this verse right here? And I read them. We looked at the Bible. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." I said, you know what you're just saying? You're still in your sins. They haven't not been blotted out. And that woman went, what? See how you see what the Word of God is powerful. And if you open up your eyes and understanding, you will see that. I said, but hang on. You know, there's good news. But we're not going to get that to the good news yet. But the thing is, I want you to see, they don't get atonement for their sins over here. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. You know, when you stand on the Word of God and to believe it to be the truth, and you come across verses like this, where people tell you you got to do the Acts 2:38 to be saved, and then they don't show you verses like that. They tell you that you got to be repent and be baptized for the name of Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, but they don't tell you six verses later they sold everything they had. See? They pick and choose what they want to do, and many of you sitting here today and listening knows the fact you've been down that road and you're still down that road. So it's time to stop being a babe and being who you are in Christ, that Christ made you in Him, and stand on some things. Now that's tough. I know. But look, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, you with me? When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Where's this taking place at? Did it take place when He was walking the earth? Did it take place? Is it going on now? Where's it taking place at? Ages to come when He, the Son of Man, shall come in His glory. That's over here when the times of refreshing shall come. You with me? Okay? That's when that God's going to give everything to give unto nation Israel and the nations that follow the nation Israel in ages to come. If you follow nation Israel today trying to get blessings, you're in error. You know, you're going to be a goat.
That's right.
You know, you're going to be a goat. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Once again, if you know anything about your Bible, many of you do. Many of you could probably run circles around me in the understanding of what you have in your Bible knowledge, and I appreciate that. But when I look at the verse, when we use this verse all the time, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in how many things? Where do you find that at? Through Paul. So if you can understand what Paul was doing today, you will have understanding in all things. The puzzle falls together when you put things in right, dividing the Word of God. That's helped me more than anything, to concentrate on the parameter of what God is doing today, and everything else falls into place. I might not know it all, but I know where to put it. And that's a very, very key to understanding. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 is dealing with the nation Israel and a dispensation of the grace of God to explain to Israel what God is doing today. Saved Israel, mind you. Not the lost Israelites, because they're down here amongst the Gentiles. They need to hear that Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again, just the same as you and I. But Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. What's happened to Israel? You want to follow a blind Israelite today?
No.
Their blindness has happened in part. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, that is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. Who's that them?
Israel,
the saved ones. Not just anybody. When I shall take away their sins. When's that going to happen?
When the times of refreshing come.
That's ages to come. That's a future involvement that He's going to take away their sins and come back after the nation Israel, that little flock that followed Him, that turns into a nation over here, she that runs to the wilderness. God saves them. Okay? Very, very important. And for this is my covenant to them. That's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Israel is a covenant people. Now, I know many of you have been involved in covenant theology around here, haven't you? You know, and it's been a stumbling block for your Bible learning, hasn't it? Go to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. I wonder where this book's at. What time period? Time past. So you got something going in time past. You got something going in ages to come. You're not in but now yet with this message and atonement. Exodus 29. The nation Israel had some things that they had to do. The chief, the priesthood had to do some things. Okay? Exodus 29. Verse 29. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and be consecrated in them. And that son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days. And when he come into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place, and thou shalt take the ram of the seeth his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherein the atonement was made to consecrate, and the sacrifice sanctify them. But the strangers shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. Verse 34. And it ought to, and if aught of the flesh of the consecration of the bread remain upon the morning, then shall burn the remaining with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. And thus shall thou do unto Aaron and his sons according to all the things that commanded thee. 7 days shall thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock of a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou shalt have made the atonement for it. And thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. You see what's going on there? They're making stuff to be a what? An atonement. Okay? They started over here. They started learning some things about atonement and how to do some things. But that was under a law. Agree or disagree? Okay? That ain't got nothing to do with under the dispensation of grace. It has not anything to do with that. Go to Leviticus chapter 16. Not only did they do these things, they did it annually. An atonement. Remember, we've read this before in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, 6, 7, when Abraham believed God and David said, blessed is him that his sins are not imputed. Okay? And her forgiving and its covering. Their sins was forgiven, guys, when they believed God. In any dispensation. You know it. You know what I mean? It's just, think about that. But they, you know, I believe they ignorantly ignored it. And went on about doing whatever they want to do. Thinking it was what God, you know, God didn't come down. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Verse 23. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments. And he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there. and he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings of the people, and make an atonement for himself, and for what?
People.
The people. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burnt upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water and afterward come into the camp. There's an atonement there. Okay? I think we all see that. But that is an annual atonement that they did for the nation Israel. That's what they, but still the atonement is what? Future. Because if they did it all the way up to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed, and they still done it, that tells me something. They didn't know nothing about their atonement now. That tells me they're still waiting to happen over here. And we saw the verses in Acts chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 25 that points that out very clear, that they're still in their sins, if you will. You know, today you don't have to be in your sins. You know that? You don't have to wait on an atonement. That God Almighty sent His Son down here to die for our sins, and it's paid in full. So today, in the dispensation of grace of God, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I can't say this enough about the first 5 chapters of Romans. You know, the first couple chapters, condemnation. You know, God condemned people, or you know, we condemned ourselves the way we live. You know, and then you come in Romans chapter 5, 4 or 5, it's talking about justification. And that verse we talked about in Romans chapter 4, verse 6, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are what? Covered. They're forgiven. David wrote about that. But they still didn't practice it. That's what gets me. See, you can know that for sure, that your sins are forgiven, and you get it down inside of you, and you can practice that in your life. Then you get to Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, what, who? Jesus Christ. Therefore, everything was written behind him there, the first 4 chapters, or you're justified by faith. It's always been by faith. It says, by whom we have access by faith into the grace when we stand. And then it says, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in verse 10, it says, for if... when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by whose life? His life. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. He was faithfulness to go to that cross. He, you know, not my will, but Thy will. How many of us can say that? How many of us, knowing that if you're going to get your head cut off right now in the name of your religion, would you stand on the faith of Jesus Christ that He died for me and you wouldn't renounce that? You know there's religions out there that's doing that to people today? And they're 1 billion strong? There's other religions did that same thing too. Over a period of history. You know, you don't know. I believe every one of us right now, knowing that we're safe and secure, we would say, I ain't got no problem with that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Wear it on a shirt, bell buckles, hats. But if you are faced with life or death, that's where you're going to meet the road. When you're faced in life and death and illnesses and physical infirmities and stuff, don't we grasp a hold of anything? We run to people that's supposed to have the knowledge, don't we? And they got an answer, don't they?
Usually it's, write me a $40,000 check. You know, I got a cure right here.
But it says, when we was much more than, and verse 11 is the key verse. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have to wait and to receive the atonement. What does it say?
Now.
But by whom we have now received atonement. That's a powerful word. You don't have to wait in dispensation of grace. You don't have to do it's handed to you. You have it right now. That's the good news I shared with that couple. And they were from Haiti, by the way. You know, so you get down, you know, get in some of these countries, and you know what they believe in Acts 2:38. They people flocked to those countries with that message all over the world. And I sent them down there, and I showed them that message, and you've seen life come in their faces. Because now they have atonement through Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary. You don't have to wait for it. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Some wonderful truths in God's Word for us today, isn't it? And to understand, to unlock that door is rightly dividing the Word of truth. Okay, there's truth all through the Bible, and that's why these lessons that we're going through is contrast. It's showing the contrast in the prophetic program, primarily working through the nation Israel on earth, and the mystery program, primarily working through the body of Christ today for the heavenly purpose. And if you put the heaven and earth together, what does that create?
The universe.
The universe. And all that universe is under whose feet and authority?
Jesus Christ.
Okay? He's raised far above all principalities. Now, I might not know too much, but I know where God Almighty sits in the throne of God. Okay? But when I read that verse, He puts Himself far above all. God done that for His Son. You have it all, son. And you know what? Satan hates that. Satan hates that because that's what lifted him up in pride. And that's why he failed, because he wants to be the God of the universe. He wants everybody to bow down to him. And that's why this earth and the human wisdom and all that we have today is corrupted. You know, that's why people follow different doctrines, every tossed to and fro. Where did I say to go? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, and ye are complete in Him. In who?
Jesus Christ.
Isn't it wonderful to know that you're complete in something?
Amen.
I've been incomplete all my life. I really have. Tell me about my wife. That kind of made me complete for a while when she's happy. Just joking, guys. But think about it. I've been incomplete all my life. We was talking about some things earlier about you know, addiction and cigarettes and drugs and whatever. What changed our mind? Because you'll go from one addiction to another addiction, won't you? You think about it. You'll give up that McMuffin and go to a bowl of oatmeal. But you still got to have your three creams and a coffee. Okay? You know what I mean? You know, things like that. You move on. But you got to understand that today you're complete in Christ, which is the head of all principalities and powers. That's powerful, isn't it? You're complete in the one that's in charge of the whole universe. But we also know He's with peace with the world right now, don't we? He's not coming down here and spanking me. Now, He might treat me like a babe, chastise me through the Word of God. Okay? Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Who's doing this?
God.
We've went down through these verses, guys. We can go through them for next until the Lord tarries or the cows come home, wherever, however you want to put it. These verses are true and they don't change. And he keeps saying, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh of the circumcision. Verse 13 is where I'm going. 13, 14. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of how many trespasses? Today, he's forgiven you of all trespasses. You know what those trespasses are? They're sins. They're trespassing against God. And he's already laid them out there, hath forgiven you. See, that's the beauty about being in the butt now and understanding what God is doing today, that he's given everything to you up front. Now, how many would go for a job right now that they say, we'd like for you to have this job. We're going to give you, go ahead and give you $3 million up front. We're going to give you 5 years worth of vacations. Right now, go ahead and take them. And then at that fifth year, you come and, you know, fulfill your commitment. Would you jump on that?
Yes,
you would. But, you know, you think, wait a minute, this is just too good to be true. Well, I've read over in Acts that I've got to do this, 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 this. And Paul preached the same message as Peter. You follow me? See how the human viewpoint and God and Satan start working on your mind? If I doubt myself, I wouldn't be up here right now. And believe me, I have doubted myself. And many of you have doubted yourself when it comes to understanding where God's Word, didn't you? But you have to come to the understanding that God is right. And it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong, He's still right. He gave a book, and He gave us His Word, and we have to get our mindset in line with what He's doing. Okay? Set this physical and job experience on us out to the side for a minute. This is something that's going to affect you for the rest of your everlasting life. Verse 14, blotting out the handwritten of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Amen. Not my cross, not your cross, His cross. And we don't have a cross to bear, if you don't mind me saying that. We put everything on Him. And he does it wonderfully. And having spoiled principalities and powers and have made a show of them, openly triumphing over them. You think about that. What He did at Calvary, and through what we're understanding through God's Word, through Paul, He's opened up and triumphed over this, over the whole universe. Over the whole universe. So today, if you will, if you get anything out of this today, of this simple message of atonement, that you don't have to wait at all. You don't have to find yourself in a program that's a works program that's beating you up and making you feel guilty, wanting this. Most like, you know, they want to keep their programs running. Because talk's cheap and takes money to ride the train. You know that. But look, this program over here is a works-based program that you have to work and make you feel that you're accomplishing something. And when you witness to somebody today and you take them to the cross of Jesus Christ, what He died for, what He did for you, for your dying, burial, and rose again, cut it off at that. Don't. And what else do you need to do? And what you don't do nothing else but trust Christ died for your sins, bear rose again, and you will receive atonement today, now. He's blotted out all handwritten ordinance that was against you. You know any ordinances was against you? Go to Ephesians chapter 2 right quick. We'll get ready to end this lesson. But Ephesians chapter 2. This goes along with what we're just sharing about what God is doing today. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For He is our peace, who made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a legal wall between the Gentiles and the Israelites. A legal wall. Back in 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's a spiritual wall. You understand me what a wall is?
Separation.
You know what a Jersey barrier is on the interstate? You ever heard that term?
No, sir.
That's that middle wall between the medium that you can't cross. It's there for a reason. So you, when if you get tired or sleepy or reach for that cell phone or go make you a sandwich or something, you veer off of that interstate, you're not going in that other lane to affect that traffic. And we've seen that, haven't we, on the road. We've seen these big 18-wheelers that crashes that, if it wasn't for that wall, then they would have created, you know, thousands of deaths, hundreds of deaths. But there's a physical wall and a spiritual wall. And then you get down here having, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What did you just read back over in Colossians? Blotting out ordinances.
You stated that a wall was blotted out.
The handwritten middle wall's gone. Okay, there.
The term you used, I want to write that down.
Which was? Okay. Okay, look, but anyway, you're talking about the Jersey wall?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Okay, look, 14 was a legal wall. 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained an ordinance for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace.
So it was abolished, is what you're saying?
Yes. There you go. That verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. What's that word?
By
the cross. Not at the cross. We sung that this morning. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. That's the physical wall. God tore it all down. But you don't find that until you get it over here through Paul. Now, you can do whatever you want to in spiritual life. Oh, it happened right here. That's why in Acts chapter 2, the body of Christ started. You see how you can fall for that? You can see how you can take that and read back at the cross it all happened. I remember that big PhD guy was sitting right here one time. Right here. And that's exactly what had happened. He says, at the cross, he was reading down through it. At the cross, I said, sir, I see what you're saying and understand. But it's by the cross we understand that it happened. Follow me? At by. So today, if you think about what you can do, and if verse 17, and it came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that are nigh. You don't have to be far off. You can be nigh. Any questions, comments before we close? Till next week.